Well, I think the girls in the Southern Division are used to my accent by now, but please, if I say anything that doesn't make sense to you, or if I speak too quickly, just wave a hand at me, because I even now have a habit of coming up with some things that produce some hilarity. We're kind of having a little training program down in Birmingham at the moment, and last week we were talking to the girls on the subject of scripture memory. And my objective was really to motivate them, you know, concerning meditation, thought life, what they did with their minds in their spare time. And so my opening phrase was, what do you think about when there's nothing particularly pressing in on you? You know, when you're just sitting on top of a bus, what do you think about? You know, as you know, we have double-decker buses back home. And the best place to daydream is upstairs in a bus. But, yeah. It really ruined my opening line, I can tell you. Anyway, I won't use such loose phraseology today. Well, when I was assigned this topic of faith, I was really rather overwhelmed because I've heard so many messages on faith, you know, and tapes on it and this on it and that on it. And I felt, well, I don't have anything to offer anybody that they haven't already heard, studied or read about, you know, because I know you studied just as many Bible studies on the subject of faith as I have, and you've heard as many messages and you've probably read as many books. So as I thought about it, I just asked the Lord to help me to think about what our needs would be this morning as a group of people. You know, I know we're from many different places all over the states, but basically we're all involved in being disciples and in making disciples. And therefore, I think that our needs are probably very similar. We have needs in our own personal lives, in trusting God for ourselves, and then we have needs in the area of trusting God for the lives of others and for our ministries. So I want us together to just spend this time this morning seeing what God has to say regarding faith in the context of our lives. What I want us to think about is, what kind of faith do we have? Why is this whole subject of faith so vital in our Christian lives? How is our confidence in Him today, in light of our own lives and our ministries? And then how can we deepen our confidence in Him? So firstly, what kind of faith are we going to be talking about this morning? And you know, the word that comes over to me when I think about faith is confidence. And I noticed that Jody mentioned this word several times last night. Just how is our confidence in Him? And when I looked up a definition of faith in Webster, it said assurance, confidence, certainty, firmness of mind. So this is the kind of faith that we're talking about this morning. Something that is confident. And that speaks to me of something that's deep and can stand up to some buffeting. And something that's enduring. And I noticed too that in the margin of the King James Version of Hebrews 11:1, it says that faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Now we have the same word. It means that we can rest in the things that we hope for, and hope in the scriptural sense of the word. Things that we know will happen. It's something with great certainty in it. And without going into any more depth on a definition of faith, I want us to think this morning, how is our confidence in God? How is our confidence in the person of God? Because in order to have this kind of deep, firm, enduring confidence, it has to be rooted in more than what somebody says. It has to be rooted in what they are, in who they are. And the challenge to me from this is, how much confidence do I have in the character and in the person of God, as well as in what he says? And you can't have one without the other. I've often heard George Sanchez say, and I know you have too, that we need to believe that God is who he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do. And he takes that from Hebrews 11, verse 6. So we need to know who God is if we're going to have this confidence. We need to know that he is all-powerful, that he is almighty, that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. We need to know that he's holy. We need to know that he loves us. We really need to know who God is if we can really have confidence in him. And I was thinking this in terms of relationships with people, you know. Who are the people that you trust? Are they people that just, you know, say things that sound good to you? Or say things that promise you a lot? Or say things that sound wise? They probably are. But more than that, they're people who you recognize are ones that have the power to do what they say they'll do. Or have the holiness and the purity to be what they profess with their mouths. And there are people that can say some really good things, and yet deep down inside, you know, we have just a question mark. Well, you know, can I really trust that person? Or do I really have confidence in them? And it's only as we get to know the character behind the words that we really have that confidence that enables us to fully trust them. And so as we think about the type of faith, the kind of faith we have, let's think about how is our ability to have true deep confidence in the character of God, not just what he says. And this is the kind of confidence that enables us to trust him when the going gets rough, as Jody was saying last night. You know, that even though we don't understand what he's doing and we don't know where he's taking us, we know that he loves us. We know that he's just. And therefore, we can trust him. Why do you think that the subject of faith is so vital to us? As I thought about this, the verse that came into my mind again was Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And my immediate thought was, well, it's vital because I want to please God. And I'm sure that you do too. And as I thought about it again, I thought, well, without faith, it's impossible. Period. Full stop. Whatever. You know, without faith, well, what would we do? It's just impossible to go on. It's impossible to live the Christian life. It's certainly impossible to have any type of ministry in the life of another. It's just impossible. So the two things that came over to me was, firstly, it's vital if we're to live a life that's pleasing to God, and it's vital if we are going to survive in the Christian life. So firstly, for his sake, it's important. And I wondered if you've considered how much it means to God that we believe him. Something that I like to do when thinking about the Lord is to try and take my relationship with him and then think of it in terms of a human equivalent and do a little role changing. And as I thought about this, I thought of putting myself in a situation with two girls that I really love, and then thinking about the two different types of reactions that those girls could have toward me in any given situation. On the one hand, there might be a girl who I know is really with me and behind me. She believes in me. You know, we're of one heart and one mind. You could think of David and Jonathan, or some other real friendship centered in Christ, one in the Lord. And oh, what a joy that type of relationship is. And you know that when you come to some decisions before God concerning the ministry or concerning a particular issue, you know that she'll be honest with you, that she will express what she thinks, that she won't just agree, you know, for the sake of agreeing, but you'll have a confidence that she would speak her mind. But in the final analysis, you know that whatever you decide, she'll be with you. That's one type. And then there could be another girl. And she too is with you and loves you. But you feel perhaps that she doesn't trust you in quite the same way. Although maybe she'd like to. You know, but when the going gets rough or the issue seems clouded, or perhaps she's not aware of all the facts, she questions. And every time a decision comes up, she'll question you. Well, I don't really see that. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? Don't you think it would be better to do that? Well, you know, and she'll go on and on and on questioning and will want God to write it in the sky that this is right, that you're doing the right thing, and then she will follow you. And it's not that we would love one girl more than the other. We love them both. But you know which one pleases you and brings more joy to your heart? It's the one that's with you. And you know the one that hurts you till you can hardly stand it. And it's the other one. And I think, well, which am I toward God? You know, am I one who pleases him and gives him joy? Or am I one who just hurts him because he gets hurt? So that's one reason why I think all of us would want to be those who please God. And that takes faith. And then the second important reason why this is such a vital area is that the issue is not simply, am I pleasing God or am I not pleasing God? But it's, am I pleasing God or am I pleasing Satan? And this brings a whole different perspective. Two chapters in the Bible that have meant a lot to me are Job, chapters 1 and 2. And I know you're familiar with the story of how Satan comes into the presence of God to talk to him about Job. And this is a very loose paraphrase, but Satan comes along and says to God, well, you know, Job is following you, but he has every reason to follow you because you've blessed him, his life is good, the way is smooth, he's prospering, you know, everything's lovely. Why shouldn't Job love you? And why shouldn't Job follow you? And God says, well, I'm going to let you try him because I know that Job follows me because he loves me. So Satan takes up that challenge and he tests Job. And there are 40-odd chapters to tell us how he tests him. But you know, the thing that comes over to me from that passage is the fact that God's reputation is at stake. And God is saying to Satan, okay, you try. I have confidence in Job that he will stand because he loves me. And that confidence stems, of course, from God's hand upon Job. But you know, it's God's reputation that is at stake. God and Satan, Job is just the middleman. He's just the battleground. And there's God on one side saying, I believe by my strength Job will stand. And Satan is standing there saying, oh no, you know. As long as he has a good, prosperous way, he'll stand. But you test him and he'll fall. And that helps me to see that when my faith is tried, when I'm tempted, when difficulties surround me, it's not just, you know, am I going to please God or am I not going to please God? You know, God is standing on one side and Satan is standing on the other side. And the issue is, who am I going to side with? And who am I going to please? And I desperately want it to be God. And I'm desperately fearful that very often it's Satan. So that to me is another really crucial reason why faith is so important and so vital to us, for God's sake and for the sake of his reputation. And then thirdly, it's important for his sake because of what it demonstrates of God to the world. And again, Jody brought this out last night, that the world is looking for reality in our Christian lives. And faith is the key to reality. And then for our own sakes, it's important. First of all, faith is the anchor that keeps the soul, as the hymn says. Faith is the thing which gives us stability in our lives. We can have a depth and a confidence in God which will keep us rooted in Him no matter what. Then faith is that which keeps us from fear. Psalm 21 and verse 7 says that the heart of the king trusts in the Lord. And that's what gives him his freedom from fear. And you and I know how fear inhibits. And faith releases us from that inhibition. Then faith is also that which keeps us from doubt. And you and I know what doubt can do in our lives. It makes us unstable in all our ways, as James says in James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. And as I was looking over those verses in James just this last week, another thought came to me, and that was that faith is the only means by which we can really experience fulfillment as individuals. Because it says here that in verse 4, it says that if we allow patience to have her perfect work, that we will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, I was really thinking about that picture of being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And it sums up to me what it would mean to be fulfilled as an individual. And that fulfillment is going to come through a dependence upon God. Because God, our Creator, made us as creatures. And creatures are fulfilled as they depend on their Creator. And I thought, well, that is the secret of fulfillment. So that for our own sakes, we really need to think about this subject of faith. And there are many, many more reasons why it's good for us. I've just picked out a few at random. So we're talking this morning about this deep confidence in who God is. And I think we can see as we look at just a few reasons why it's important that it really is important. And now I'd like us just to think of some areas of our lives. And again, I've tried to make these ones that would be applicable to you and I in our everyday situations. Some areas of our lives in which we need this deep confidence in God. Firstly, let's look at our personal lives. Do we believe that God really loves us? Guess this is the most important single question in our lives. Do I believe that God loves me? Do I believe that it's possible for Him to love Him more than He does? Or do I know that He loves me today, right now, as much as He can possibly ever love me? He says in Jeremiah 31:3, that He has loved us with an everlasting love. And that's why He continues His faithfulness to us. If I really believe this, I will also believe that He accepts me and that He didn't make me the way I am because of chance or accident. And I will be able to accept myself and know that I am the way I am, because that's the way He wants me to be. And you know, it's such a comfort to me to think when I get put out about my personality or my appearance or my idiosyncrasies or this or that and the other, you know, just to stop and say, well, did God make you that way or didn't he? And did he have a choice in the matter? And he really did. And we don't understand why he does things the way he does. But he has a very good reason. And what he creates, he loves. You know, we don't make things that we don't want to have around. And neither does he. Of course, that's not to say that there's not sin that needs to be changed. But I'm talking now just about the way he's made us and the people we are. And Psalm 139, I'm sure, is a favorite of yours as it is of mine. That he knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. And there have been no accidents. But do we really believe these things? I know you've heard these 1,000 times. You know, but do we believe them? Are they deep down in our hearts something that we can bank on? And then, do we believe that God has a perfect plan for our lives? And again, for us girls, this is a crucial question. We are always thinking about the future. You know, if it isn't tomorrow or the next day, then it's next month or next year or 10 years, and what will I be like and what will I be doing? And, you know, all sorts of fears can come in. Will I be married? Will I still be a girl's worker? You know, what about when I get too old to have a girl's apartment and I can't... Well, I go on the college campus right now, down in Alabama, and I say to the girls, I can't identify with these students. And I can't, you know, but does it frighten me or do I just accept it? Okay, I can't, you know, but God knows that. You know, do I really have confidence that he has a plan for my life? 1 John 4 and verse 18 is very meaningful to me along these lines, especially in the living letters. It says that we need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. So I wonder how deeply confident we are today in God's plan for our lives. And then do we believe that God will change us? Ephesians 3:20 was the verse that came to mind when I thought about this, where God says that he will do things exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you know, sometimes that's what it takes, isn't it, to change us. But, you know, we are all aware that we need to be changed. On the one hand, we can rest confident that we're God's creation. We can enjoy being that right now, today. But on the other hand, we know that his creation is something creative in itself and continuing. And that's even more exciting, I think, that he doesn't just make us and then leave us like that for always, but he's continually creating us and preparing us to be with him. So do we have confidence in his continuing creativity in our lives? Because if we do, that will bring a whole new zest for life. And then do we really believe that God is sovereign? And again, we've heard 1,000 messages telling us God is sovereign. But do we have confidence in that? Do we have confidence that our past is dealt with, buried, forgiven, forgotten? We can leave our guilt, our fear, whatever behind us, because God was sovereign, is sovereign. Do we believe that he's sovereign in our present situations? Do we believe that he is sovereign in the circumstances in which we find ourselves today, or, you know, in our home circumstances that we've just left? In our relationships, do we believe he is sovereign in the relationships that either we have or we do not have right now? Do we believe he's sovereign in the job of work that he's given us to do right now? Or are we forever saying, God, you really have made a mistake. I can't do this. You know, is he sovereign or isn't he? And then as far as our future is concerned, and we've touched on this in thinking about his plan for our lives, you know, do we really believe that God is sovereign over all that's up ahead for us? Okay, so those are just a few personal areas, which is good to consider constantly, I think. And then just a few areas regarding our ministries that I'd like us to think about. And again, Jody mentioned one of these last night, and that is, do we really believe that God can use us? You know, when we know ourselves the way that we know ourselves, we really wonder. Especially when maybe, you know, there are others that we feel have some wrong concepts about us. You know, we think, maybe they think that we can lead this Bible study group when really they don't know, you know, how we blew it last week. But luckily, God's using us is not dependent on other people, on what they think about us or our ability, whether they have a, you know, what we consider a higher or a lower opinion of us than is accurate. But it's dependent on God and on his ability. And when we look at his ability, then he can use us. There's just no other conclusion that we can come to. Of course, we have to be willing to be used. That's the issue. Not can God use us, but am I willing for God to use me? Because he is able. But do we believe that today? And do we believe that God will bless us? Not just use us, but really bless us. Rob Parry-Smith, who's the regional director back home in Great Britain, says, do we want to have a ministry, or do we want to make a significant impact upon people and the world? And, oh, what a difference. You know, we can all have a ministry. If we believe that God can use us, then we can encourage and we can exhort and we can build up. We can have a ministry of some type. But if we believe that God can bless us, then we will have a significant impact upon those around us. And we need today people who will have a significant impact on those around them. And again, this rests in God. It's not, you know, am I going to be good enough and am I going to have the basics strong enough in my life and am I going to have enough scripture memorized and am I going to be the kind of girls' worker that God will bless? Because it doesn't come by our effort or our trying to be the perfect whatever we're supposed to be. It comes from a confidence that God will bless us because God wants to bless us. And I wonder, do we believe that? Do we have a conviction that God wants to bless our lives? And then do we have a conviction that God will equip us? And I wonder, just looking ahead to the fall, I know that some of you will be in new ministry situations, and for most of us, the fall brings changes. And often those changes overwhelm us. We look ahead and we think, I am never going to be able to do that. Do we believe that God will equip us? that he who has called us is faithful, and he also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Okay, I'm right there. And then along the same lines again, but I think it's worthy of being mentioned on its own, do I believe that God can use me in the life of another individual? Because this is what we're all involved in. And I know the struggles that I've gone through really believing that God could use me in somebody else's life. You know, I felt that I had to be more equipped. I had to know more. I had to have deeper insight. I had to have this and I had to have that. And I would never have all that it took to be able to be used in the life of an individual. And I've decided that on that basis I'll never make it. So I've stopped doing that. But, oh, the freedom that comes from believing that God will use us in the life of another as we follow God. And that he will just unconsciously almost work through us and keep us so in tune with him that he will use us in the life of another. And that gives us freedom to be ourselves, not to try and be something that we should be and thus put up walls so that nobody ever really gets to know us, because if they did, you know, it would ruin the whole thing. So this might just be my problem, but I share it in case it's yours too. Okay. I don't know if some of these areas ring bells with you, but I know that they ring big bells with me. So let's just go on now to see how can we allow God to deepen our confidence in him. And if there is one area or several areas in which you recognize a need to have him deepen your confidence, then keep that in mind while we go on. What do we do when we see this lack of confidence in God? Firstly, we need to be real with God. We need to stop pretending that we believe him for something that we don't. You know, it's so easy. We know in our minds that we should believe him, and we know all the logical reasons why we should believe him. But in our hearts, we just don't believe it. We don't have that confidence that's rooted in the character of God. So let's admit it. Let's be honest about it. Let's tell God about it. And Psalm 34 and verse 4 is a real comfort to me in this, where David comes to God. And he says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And for fears, you could substitute doubt, lack of confidence, whatever. But David came to God. He sought him. He told him about it. And then God heard him, and he answered. And that is what we need to do with these areas which we lack confidence in. We sometimes expect to have this confidence from God without even telling him that we don't have it. You know, in a human relationship, a real trust and confidence in a person comes as a result of being real, being honest with one another, not just hoping or trying to brainwash yourself into thinking that that person really likes you, loves you, whatever the issue. It has to come from saying, look, I really feel kind of insecure in our relationship. And then you get some feedback and they assure you that they do love you. And then you have something solid to base your conviction on. And I know that in my own life, this has just meant so much to me to come to God and to say, Lord, I don't really believe that you love me. I know that's wrong. I know I should believe it, but I'm sorry I don't. But I really want you to tell me that you do and to show me that you do. And then that gives him the opportunity to show us and to tell us in his own time and it has to be in his own time, in his own way. But he will answer us. And I'm sure you're familiar with the verse Romans 10:17, where we're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And often, I think we take that to mean that if we doubt that God loves us, well, we take a verse like Jeremiah 31:3 and we say it over and over and over to ourselves. You know, that God loves us. And then we brainwash ourselves into thinking that God loves us. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong. But what I am saying is that in order for me to believe that God loves me, it's not enough to read it. He has to say it to me. You know, there has to be the word, and then there has to be the hearing of the word spoken to me. Not you or anybody else, but me. And this is why I think it's so vital that we're honest in our own relationship with God, and that we don't just memorize and repeat to ourselves God's verses, God's promises, but we ask him to make them personal to us. And then secondly, after we've been real with him and he's spoken to us, we need to lay hold of what he says and make it our own. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 talks about God's great and precious promises. And they are great and they are precious. And they're even more precious when he has spoken them to us in answer to our need. And then we need to lay hold of those promises. We need to pray them into our lives. We need to get on our knees and just to talk them back to him and to make them our own. And you know how some verses in the Bible are yours and some aren't. And this is the way we get verses that really are ours. And those we would stake our lives on. So prayer is what I'm saying there. We need to pray into our lives the convictions that God gives us in answer to our needs. And then we need to exercise faith. And I'm repeatedly challenged when I think, well, how much do I use the faith that I do have? You know, how much do I exercise it? So we get a new conviction. So what do we do with it? You know, we pray it into our lives and that's really meaningful to us. And then we go on our merry way and it becomes less and less meaningful because we don't use it. And when Satan comes along, maybe he trips us up on something that we really do have a conviction about. You know, because we're not exercising that conviction. We're not exercising the faith that we have. And I wonder today, I ask myself this and you, but do we today give in as easily to Satan in our weak areas as we did a year ago? Are we as susceptible to him today on a particular problem area as we were a year ago? Or have we exercised faith so that it's becoming an increasingly deep reality in our lives? Just for an example, you know, this issue of the future is one. Probably most of us in this room have had fears about the future. And we've told God about it, and maybe God's given us a promise or a verse or an assurance. But that doesn't mean that Satan will never come around again and say, well, you know, are you sure? Satan does, repeatedly. Very often, the deeper the conviction, the more he comes around. But then what do we do when he comes? You know, do we exercise faith, or do we just give in, and do we rehash the whole issue over and over and over again? Because that's not the way to strengthen faith. You know, we have to exercise our faith. And we have to just turn him off, not go into the whole issue of what God's going to do with us in 20 years' time, but just say, that's settled, so be gone, you know, and just don't give it another thought. And that turns life into something more positive and exciting too, because it means that when temptations come around and when Satan is bugging us, you know, it's not such a negative thing, but it's something positive. We can stand there and we can say, I know, you know, that God has that in hand, so I won't even enter into discussion with you. Now, and that's a tremendously satisfying thing to do. I wish it was always that way in my own life. But there's another aspect to this question of exercising our faith, and that is that exercising involves choosing. And I know when I was in Loughborough, I really went through some struggles about, well, God's love and God's plan for me. And I just did not believe that he could use me. It was that simple. I didn't believe it. And, you know, I was miserable because I wanted him to. It was the only thing I wanted him to do, and I didn't think he would or could. I don't know what it was. But, you know, it was just misery. And I was reading in the Word one day in Isaiah. I still haven't got converted to saying Isaiah yet. Anyway. And in chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, if ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. That was how I felt too. But you know, that verse has been such a help to me. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. It's that simple. But God was very gracious, because as I thought about this, I did a little kind of verse analysis or whatever on it. And I came across another verse in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20 and verse 20. And that verse says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe his prophets, so shall he prosper. And that really gave me a clear picture. You know, either I could choose to believe God and prosper, or I could choose not to believe him and not to prosper. And I could see how when the crunch comes, I have to choose. You know, God says he loves me. He's proved it umpteen times. But I can still doubt it if I wish to. But I have to choose. In the final analysis, do I choose to believe God over any issue, or do I choose not to? And then the fourth point is that we need to live by our conscience. And in 1 Timothy 1, verse 19, Paul says that many have made shipwreck of their faith by not living by their conscience. I have a favorite verse along these lines, and that's Romans 14, chapter 22. And that says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And then at the end of the second verse, it says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But hast thou faith, then have it between you and God. Or as the RSV says, the faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. And I think that's a really big principle, if you can say that, in developing or having God develop our faith. You know, do we stand by what we really believe? Because unless we do, we will never develop real convictions. And I say develop convictions, and I mean develop, because our convictions change as we grow. And James 3:17 reminds us that the wisdom that is from above is open to reason. And it doesn't mean that we're dogmatic or unteachable or unyielding. But it does mean that we're willing to have God develop our convictions. And I know, just for my own self, how much I have learned this last year, just because I've been on my own, and I have seen God give me some convictions. And the interesting thing is, you know, they're the same things that people have been telling me for about 9 years. But, you know, now they're mine. And I believe in them so much more than I ever did before, I tell you. But we need to live in the light of our conscience so that we can have those kind of convictions. Then lastly, we need to get to know the character of God. Because this type of confidence is based in His character. And unless we know what that character is, then we will miss out on having this kind of confidence. And it's been really exciting to us in Birmingham this summer. We've had girls doing Bible study on different aspects of the character of God. And our whole theme was that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. That's our theme for the summer. And as I say, we've all been doing studies on the creator of the universe and the creator of man and different aspects of God's character. And just some things that the girls have shared have reaffirmed to me again that this is what we need in order to believe God. We haven't talked about faith at all. But one girl said to me that she had, at the end of a particular week when we looked at the sovereignty of God, that she'd been able to commit an issue to God that had bugged her for years. And she was radiant. Another girl said, you know, I haven't worried since I did that study last week or the week before or something. You know, and we hadn't talked about worry. She just said, I haven't worried since I did that study. Because she saw who God is. And I'm really sold on doing more of that type of study for myself and for other people. Because that way we see who it is that our faith is rooted in. Okay, well, there are probably many, many more ways that we can have God develop our faith. And, of course, the circumstances in which He puts them and our reactions to that circumstance or those circumstances are key in this whole matter. And from what Jody shared with us last night, we can easily tie in those thoughts that she shared on deepening our walk with God with this issue of faith, because they're just so interrelated. So I'm not going to go into that. But I think we can probably see some ways here in which we can have God deepen our confidence in Him. I don't know if you ever consider what you would like your life to be characterized by. But that was something that I thought about as I did this talk. And I could see that faith is probably the issue on which everything else rests. It's vital. I could also see areas in my own life in which I need to gain confidence in Him. And I want to take those to Him. And I hope that you will see areas in your life which you too want to take to Him and have Him give you more confidence in. But I want it to be true of me that I would be somebody who in any and every situation, however complex or confusing or dark or terrible, would be able to say, Lord, I love You and I trust You. And I think that's what we're talking about today. Are we going to be girls who, in any and every situation, will come to God and will say, I don't understand You, but I love You and I trust You? Or are we going to be ones who are unstable in all our ways? And I know which I want to be, and I think I know which one you want to be. But let's really pray and ask God to make us ones who would have that kind of confidence in him.